Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 11, the Word of God says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you." Don't you feel blessed when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake? What a strange thing to tell us to do. Somebody is bad-mouthing you, speaking behind your back, slandering you because you are a believer, because of your stand for God, because you brought in some element of conviction, because you in some way represented the kingdom, and they are angry with you, they don't like you, they speak evil against you. And he says, blessed are you. We don't feel blessed. We feel oppressed, persecuted, abused maybe, but Jesus says, blessed are you when that happens. And then he says something all of us immediately go to: rejoice. Rejoice. Do we rejoice? No, we don't usually rejoice. We usually get upset, hurt, angry, whatever, depressed, whatever kind of a response, but I don't think anybody I know automatically turns to rejoicing. And be exceedingly glad. Okay. So men revile you, they persecute you. They say all manner of evil. You name it, if it's evil, they say it against you for the sake of our Savior. And then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And then he gives you the reason. For great is your reward in heaven. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. This is not new to you. This is not unique to you. This is something that has been going on since the very beginning, since Cain and Abel. Cain was the first one to persecute a prophet. Now, Jesus said, when they do this, they're doing something that has been going on through time. Don't be upset about it. Don't be depressed about it. Don't be angry about it. Don't be hurt by it. Rejoice, you're being blessed. Be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Because great is your reward in heaven. Let me say it one more time. Because great is your reward in heaven. Now, every born-again believer who is worth his salt as far as being a manifestation of Christ goes is going to experience seasons when this takes place. Every person who reveals the nature of God, even though they do it properly, every person who reveals the nature of God, and what I mean by properly is, I don't mean, for example, they preach on the job. You don't preach on the job. You're being paid to do a job. You're not being paid to preach. And so every person who does it properly, they reveal the character of God, will experience some manner of either reviling or persecution or evil being spoken of them, or any combination of those or all three of them. When that takes place, all too often we believers don't like it. We believers get hurt or angry, resentful, react at it, fight it, defend ourselves, and so on. And the reason is because of our expectation. The reason is because we are not looking to that which is eternal in it. We are looking at the situation which is taking place, and we are saying to ourselves, that is wrong. That is not correct. That is false. That is not what I said. That is not what I meant. That is not what I did. And we look at the incorrect nature of it, and we respond to the nature of it. And then we have difficulty with it. When that happens, understand something. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. When somebody comes against you, what is your expectation? Sometimes people respond in fear. Maybe they can hurt me. Maybe I can lose my job because of that, and they'll respond in fear. Sometimes people will make sure that they don't reflect Christ properly because they are afraid because of their expectation. What is your expectation? Sometimes people have great expectation. Sometimes people have poor expectation. The correct response when this happens, and Jesus is telling us this right now, is that we are to have great expectation of great riches in heaven. That's it right there. When you are reviled, when you are persecuted, and persecuted does not necessarily mean that you're being crucified on a cross. Persecuted means that there are people who are trying to damage you in some way. Persecuted means that they are trying to slander your name. Persecuted means that they are speaking evil against you. When these things happen, have great expectation of great riches in heaven. Because this is what God says is taking place in your life. You're being persecuted, you're being reviled, you're having all manner of evil spoken against you. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. You're being a testimony and they are reacting at your testimony. Great is your reward in heaven. Have great expectation of great riches in heaven. This life is not your end all. How often do we think this life is our end all because we are so temporally and time oriented? If you are temporally oriented, if you are oriented to time, as far as your life goes, then you are disoriented. You're already seated above in heavenly places in Christ. That means that you are already in eternity. Your experience only is in time, but you are seated in eternity. So have great expectation of great riches in heaven. Because the only thing that ever happens to a believer is sent from eternity in 2 Corinthians 4:15. Great expectation of great reward from heaven is our response to the negativity that Satan throws at us using other people. Now, the Word of God says in Romans 5:3 to verse 5, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope does not make ashamed. In all things, we are to have great expectation. That's what it's talking about. Hope does not make ashamed. Hope is not a wishful thought. Hope is a confident expectation from God. We can have confident expectation from God because our responses are based in the promises of God. God's promises cannot lie. They are all yea and amen. They are all for us. They are all meant to be taken by us. They are all meant for us to have a great expectation from them. Therefore, we are to have confident expectation from God because we have a huge promise given by God. For whatever our situation is. And if people are persecuting you, if people are reviling you, if people are speaking evil against you because of Christ, or because of your testimony, or because of who you are as a believer, then you know that you can have great expectation of great riches in heaven. When Jesus was crucified, the biggest accusation against him was that he said he would tear down the temple and raise it up again in 3 days. Number one, he didn't say he would tear down the temple. That accusation was a total misrepresentation of what Jesus said, and this can happen to believers. This is where some believers get in trouble. This is where some believers say to themselves, well, I kind of brought that in because if I was a little bit wiser, if I had done a little bit better a job of communicating what I was trying to say. No. Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. And he was not talking about the building. He was talking about his body, and the prophecy did come to pass. However, what he had said was twisted by Satan. Satan loves to twist. Satan loves to misrepresent. Satan loves to lie. And Satan will do all three as often and as fervently as he can. When that happens, have great expectation of great reward in heaven. It happened to Jesus, you're in really good company. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, when you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, through manifold trials, through manifold testing, to various different types of testings and trials. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God allows these things to happen to us in part to try our faith, to test our faith. The testing of your faith is more precious than gold. Gold is also a picture of faith in the Bible. The testing of your faith is more valuable than the faith itself, because faith will only exist here on earth, but the results of the testing are eternal. That you may be found unto praise and honor and glory when eternity meets you. So, have great expectation whenever your faith is being tested of great honor and great praise from your God. Imagine that. You get to heaven, and you don't just hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You get praise and honor from God when you get to heaven. Why? Because the trial of your faith came about. Have great expectation of great praise and great honor in heaven. Do we have this in the trial of our faith? If the trial of your faith comes, say, I have great expectation of great praise and great honor in heaven. If somebody comes up and they are nasty to you, they are unkind to you, they're sarcastic to you, they slander you, they accuse you, then have great expectation of great riches in heaven. How many people have this great expectation? How often is it, maybe it's within our family, you have a difficulty with a spouse or a parent or a child or what have you. And maybe they're a little bit abusive to you. Maybe they are unkind. Maybe they are critical. Maybe they are mean. Maybe they approach you in their flesh and they are very unedifying. When that takes place, don't react at them. When that takes place, go up to that person and take them in your arms. Well, maybe not take them in your arms, they might hit you. Play that one by ear. And say to them, you, my dear, are my gold mine. Because I have great expectation of great reward in heaven. So you, my dear, are my gold mine. You see, it'll break the atmosphere for you. Do we think that way? Do we think that way? You see, this is thinking in reality. This is thinking in reality. You're a young person, and your parents maybe are unbelievers, and you're a believer. And they perhaps give you a very difficult time for being a believer. Say, Mother, Father, you're making me filthy rich, thank you. Because I have great expectation of great reward in heaven from you. Thank you. Do you have a boss who is difficult because you're a believer? Say, boss, don't take him in your arms. You could never give me the raise that'll match those riches. Because I have great expectation of great reward in heaven from you. This is reality. Where we have difficulty is in our expectation. We enter situations with difficult people, with persecutions, with negativity, with whatever you have that Satan wants to throw at us through somebody's voice box. And don't make any mistake about it, it is Satan throwing at us from somebody's voice box. But our expectation is not of great reward. And because our expectation is not of great reward, our focus becomes our circumstance. Your circumstance is a matter of your perceptions. If I have great expectation of great reward, my circumstances change because my perception changes. And so we live with this great expectation of great reward. We live with great expectation of great praise. We live with great expectation of great honor. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, a light affliction which is but for a moment works a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. It works a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. You get a light affliction. You get afflicted by something. You get a physical ailment. You get financial hardship. You get whatever it is that is giving you trouble. But you are staying faithful to God in it. You can have great expectation of a great coat of glory. You know, these coats of glory, people are a little bit vague as to what that actually means. It is literal glory. It's light that we are covered in. Our soul body is clothed in light. It's like this. Especially in the olden days, if you had, for example, a king, the king would put on opulent garments. Garments that reflected his place, reflected his riches, reflected his majesty. And he would put on opulent garments. And they may be laced with gold. They had a symbol outwardly of the wealth that they possessed, of the position that they possessed. In heaven, it is like that. The degree of glory with which our soul body is covered becomes a reflection of other things that we possess in heaven. And that glory comes through affliction. So if I am in affliction, I have great expectation of a great coat of glory. In our backyard, some people have these. We have those little lights. We have a stone walkway and we have these little lights, these solar lights that light up at night to illuminate the stone walkway. They're not very bright, but they are sufficient so you could see where your foot is landing. But they're not very bright. On the other hand, most people have also seen those skylights that they illuminate the sky with. Sometimes on holidays and special occasions, you'll see them. They shine that massive light into the sky and it lights up all the clouds. They used to use them in the war, the searchlights for airplanes. That is an extraordinary extremely bright light. You look into that light, forget it, your retina is gone. You see, this is the difference in glory. In glory, the stars differ from one another. In glory, we are stars. And we differ from one another. We can be this little dull solar light up where the foot lands light. Or we can be a blinding, brilliant light that we are covered in. But we're going to differ from one another. The difference comes from the affliction. If you are afflicted in any way, respond positively with the Word of God. Don't succumb to the negativity, to the temptation to react in that negativity. Because you have great expectation of great glory in eternity when that affliction comes. This is what guards us from negativity. This is what guards us from reactions. This is what guards us from depression when these things take place. This is what guards us from responding in our emotions. It is our expectation. Some people have expectations, some people do not have expectation, and if you do not have expectation, you need to get expectation. Where do I get expectation? By believing the promises of God. We have great expectation of great reward in heaven because we are placed by God into this circumstance. And then in verse 18 it continues, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Our expectation, our focus is eternal. It is not horizontal. It is not temporal. It is not at our circumstances. It is not at the people. It's not at what was said. It's not at what was done. It's not at what took place. It is in eternity. Understand something. If I am going to be eternally oriented, it is because I am walking by faith. If I'm going to be horizontally or temporally oriented, it is because I am walking by sight. Now here's the thing about sight. And this is what makes sight so dangerous. And I don't mean sight as in physical senses. I mean that I evaluate by the things that I see or the things that I hear by the natural mind apart from the mind of Christ. A person who walks by sight, by virtue of walking by sight, they are expressing self-orientation. Walking by sight is an expression of self-orientation. Self-orientation is the very source of all depravity and evil. Think about it. Ezekiel 28 says that iniquity was in Satan's heart. Iniquity is the result of pride. Satan got proud when he was Lucifer. Why did he get proud? Because he was beautiful. He became self-oriented, and the number one angel in heaven became Satan through self-orientation. Adam and Eve became self-oriented, and the immediate response was that they got religious in their production and remove themselves from God. All evil that takes place on earth is the direct result of self-orientation. Now, people may say, I'm not evil in their self-orientation. I just evaluate by my own understanding. I just call it the way it is. You know what? You're living at the good side of the tree of knowledge. Good and evil, and that is Satan's tree in Ezekiel 31:18. So even though you may think you're doing well, you're feeding on Satan's tree and you're responding to the devil. And there's an authority in your life that came from demons. And it's because of self-orientation. Self-orientation is the doorway to demonic influence. This is why we take up a cross. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. What does that mean? It doesn't mean be an ascetic. It means get out of self-orientation and enter the doorway that leads to the life of God in Galatians 2:20. That self-orientation component that leads us to be negative, that leads us to be critical, that leads us to be fearful, that leads us to be temperamental, that leads us to be insecure, that leads us to be moody, that leads us to be emotional, that leads us to all of our problems. People who have issues with anger have issues with anger because of self-orientation. An angry person, an insecure person, a moody person, an emotional person has no expectation of great riches in heaven. Why? Because they are self-oriented and therefore their orientation is always going to be on a temporal horizontal plateau. That is a person who lives in the worst form of bondage that exists. And if it becomes infectious, because they are living under demonic influence, if it becomes infectious, then they will expect other people to submit to their bondage. This is exactly what happened in the garden. Lucifer became Satan through self-orientation. He tricked Eve to submitting to his bondage of self-orientation. Eve became self-oriented. She then got Adam to submit to her bondage of self-orientation. And it was all under the influence of the devil. Their expectation was not of great rewards. Their expectation was in guilt, shame, and fear. As they recognize division rather than being members one of another in the body of Christ. And so they made themselves fig leaves. And when the word of God came, they hid themselves. Self-orientation took away their expectation. Self-orientation always takes away expectation from God. If a person is living in fear or depression, and I don't mean clinical depression, I don't mean the organic kind of a depression, I'm talking about the depression that is like woe is me depression. If a person is living in some kind of mood disorder, so a person is living in insecurity, in a bad self-image, what have you, in anger issues, moodiness, it's all self-orientation. And they have no expectation. And without expectation, they get to experience defeat. And if they try to overcome the defeat within the confines of a life at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then they will expect other people to submit to their defeat. And then they'll do things like use their temper to manipulate. They'll do things like try to put guilt on people. They'll do things like get reactionary. And it's really nothing more than manipulation initiated by a demon. What do I do when I get there? If a man would be my disciple, let him deny himself. Enter into the doorway that is the pathway into eternal life and the experience of the fullness of the life of God called the cross, and let him follow me. And when a person starts following God, they do it because the Word of God becomes governmental in their life. And when the Word of God is governmental in their life, the promises of God become their frame of reference. When the promises of God become their frame of reference, they start entering into a great expectation of great reward in heaven when anything that the devil can throw at them comes their way. You see, your great expectation is a great reflection of a great God on the throne of a great frame of reference. And so, very quickly, it doesn't even take a process. It takes a decision. We have a frame of reference where God is the source of our thinking. Sometimes people follow God and they say to themselves, I've given up so much. See, there's a mistake in that. They're becoming oriented to the circumstance rather than oriented to the promise. Well, in Mark 10 and verse 29, Jesus said that there is no man that has left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for his sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now, not in eternity, not after they go home to be with the Lord, but now, in this time, in time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. With persecutions. You will receive the provisions and you will receive the persecutions. And in the world to come, the quality of God's eternal life. Great expectation. Great expectation. How many people say to themselves, I cannot follow the call of God. I will lose what I have. No expectation. How many people say to themselves, if I follow the call of God and I lose what I have, I will receive back 100-fold all the houses and mothers and fathers and brethren and sisters and all that that I have given up for the kingdom of God. I will receive 100-fold. What is your expectation? That is great expectation from God for provision. We follow God with great expectation. Not that we're going to be without, not that we're not going to have enough, not that we're going to end up hungry, but expectation that God will provide for us abundantly. Abundantly. People sometimes are paralyzed from the call of God because of an expectation that Satan brings their way with the projection that God will not take care of you. If you follow God. I've got news for you. The call of God is the place of your rich provision. Outside of the call of God is the place of your great loss. Whatever the details of the call of God are, you will find them within the will of God in your life. How does a person enter the call of God? They follow the will of God. When a person habitually follows the will of God, they enter the call of God. And the way that we do that is with great expectation. We don't look at our circumstance, we have great expectation. We don't look at people, we have great expectation. We don't look at our provision, we have great expectation. We don't say how, we'd have great expectation. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't whatever? Right? Isn't that what the world will say? How are you going to get a job if you don't go to secular college instead of Bible college? Why is it that the two are mutually exclusive? Whoever said that? How are you going to find a husband if you don't date every guy you can and see which one's your husband? How are you going to find a wife if you don't go hunting after her? You have no expectation. My answer to how is I have great expectation from heaven. That's how. I have great expectation from heaven, and such hope does not make ashamed. Never disappointed after hope has been placed with great expectation in the provisions of heaven. People sometimes have tribulation. They suffer and they have tribulation. And God says, if you suffer and you have great tribulation, I give you the crown of life. What does the crown of life mean? In 2 Timothy 2:12, it means that you reign with Christ. Those that reign with Christ are the possessors of the crown of life. They suffered with Christ, for which they reign and receive the crown of life. So you're going into suffering, and you say, I'm suffering so much, oh, I wish this suffering would end. And I can understand sometimes suffering can be incredibly profound. And if we can find relief, then there's nothing wrong with finding it. But nevertheless, they that suffer with Christ will reign with Him, Paul said to Timothy. Paul had great expectation of reigning. Do you have great expectation that you're going to reign as a result of your suffering? Or do you say, I'm suffering, oh boy, I hope I reign. What kind of expectation is that? It's like this. It's almost Dickensian in people's mindset, which is such a sappy way to look at things. Let's say, for example, somebody has wealthy parents and they're a kid. What would it be like if the kid of wealthy parents got hungry during the day as he was playing outside and says, Mother, could you spare but a morsel, just a small morsel of the least of the things that fall off the table? Please, for me, I know I'm worth nothing. Wouldn't that be weird? That would be called, you're an idiot, kid. Don't be an idiot. No. Most kids will come in there, they'll open the fridge, they don't even ask. Why? Because they have great expectation that there's something in the fridge that they're going to like and that their parents are okay with them having it. Yeah, we believers act like God is some sort of a stingy Scrooge type. Oh, Father, if you would spare just a morsel, thinking that they're somehow humble within their self-effacing self-orientation. No, you go to the throne of God and you ask boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says you ask boldly because you have great expectation. What's your expectation? Do you have great expectation of reigning with Christ if you are suffering? God wants you to have great expectation. He's going to give you crowns for a reason. And don't you think for a moment that you're going to lose those crowns once He gives them to you. There's this school of thought that misinterprets Revelation 4:10. And they say that we will throw our crowns at the feet of Jesus. That is not correct. The only crowns that are placed at the feet of the Lord are actually placed at the throne of God, not necessarily the feet of God, and they are the crowns of the 24 elders. Those are the ones, the Bible says, will place their crowns before the throne. It nowhere says that we will place our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And unless you think you're one of the 24 elders, you're going to be holding on to your crown if you get one. And if you do think you're one of the 24 elders, well, you're wrong because you're here listening to this message. And they are already in heaven. So you're not in danger of being in that category of those who placed their crowns at His throne. But sometimes we sacrifice our crowns because and self-orientation, we refuse the promises of God. And instead of having great expectation, maybe we kick against the pricks. Maybe we live in some form of self-pity. Maybe we become reactionary and negative, responding to the atmosphere instead of responding to God in our situation. Satan would love to rob you of your rewards in heaven by getting you to live in self-orientation, because he is a thief. So by the very nature of who he is, for no other reason than that, just because he's a thief and that is his nature, he would rob you by robbing your expectation. Live with a great expectation of great rewards in heaven, because God has given you promises regarding those rewards. Now it's like this. You say to somebody, I give you my word, I'll take care of this for you. And then they keep bugging you. Will you do this for me? Can you please do this for me? Please. And they beg you, please do this for me. And you already told them you would do this. Wouldn't that be annoying? Yeah, we do that sometimes with God. But we don't trust His promises with great confidence, and therefore we don't have great expectation. For God wants to give us a great expectation, because tribulation produces the entry point into the character of God. That produces experience with God. That experience produces a confident, great expectation that will not disappoint. Amen?